It is May 12th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. My nephew Andrew Lothian, who edits the daily JLN podcast and is a professional musician, has come out with a new album featuring a tribute song to his late grandmother titled Dear Marjorie. You can hear it with a link in today's newsletter on Instagram. Andrew's stage name is Wallace Tallman. Wallace is his middle name and mother's maiden name, and Tallman because, like the rest of the Lothian family, he is tall. It is a beautiful tearjerker of a song, sung with a couple of friends providing the harmony that won a songwriting contest. He wrote it from the heart, and you can tell. The artwork with the song is a picture of my family's Wisconsin home my niece Sarah drew. She is studying art at the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee. My apologies in case the link to the Gary Gensler facial expressions video did not work for you yesterday. There's a link in today's newsletter that should work. The Financial Times editorial board has an editorial titled "The Lurking Danger of a Trump Return." That danger is not just to television networks making bad decisions on programming and who to invite for studio audiences. Also in the Financial Times, there's a story titled "U.S. Risk Falling Behind Europe Without Crypto Rules," warns SEC Commissioner. Evidently, Hester Pierce is not paying attention to the SEC's enforcement of securities laws against crypto markets, meaning there is a regulatory regime for crypto assets. There may be some turf wars, but that is as it has always been, especially during times of innovation. CFTC Commissioner Carolyn Pham is in Germany and met with Eurex CEO Michael Peters at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, quote, "for a learning tour on European capital markets and their end-to-end value chain," unquote. CME Group Chairman and CEO Terry Duffy visited the Belfast office of the CME Group, quote, "where he had the opportunity to visit with the team and celebrate his Irish roots," unquote. The ISDA AGM ended yesterday. It was a successful trip to Chicago for ISDA. The next AGM will be in Tokyo in April of 2024, ISDA announced. I attended a Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America fundraiser for the metals industry in Chicago last night at the Hyatt, right next door to the ISDA conference. The metals industry fundraiser had more people in attendance than before the pandemic and raised more money too. Of course, my wife and I helped with the fundraising and won a picture from the movie Field of Dreams, as well as tickets to a minor league baseball team game in Chicago. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Financial Times, the headline. This is a commentary from Mervyn King. "We need a new approach to bank regulation. Waiting until there's a crisis and then deploying ad hoc measures is not good enough." 15 years ago, the collapse of the Western banking system led to the adoption of thousands of pages of complex regulations. Yet here we are in the middle of another crisis of confidence in banks. Silicon Valley Bank and Credit Suisse had idiosyncratic problems. In the latter case, weak regulation and procrastination by the Swiss authorities exacerbated the problem. In the former, contagion affected other small banks. My comment. Which works better, foresight or hindsight? Generals are always fighting the last battle, not the next battle. Same with regulators and regulations. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg, the headline. Yellen says, we have to default on something if Congress fails. Treasury says the focus now is on talks with Congress. Yellen refrains from pledging to maintain debt servicing. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had said that the federal government will have to renege on some payments if Congress doesn't raise the debt limit, though no plan on how the department would proceed has yet been presented to President Biden. My comment. I say you default on congressional pay and then retirement benefits. Let that sink in for a while. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Ken Griffin's handpicked math prodigy runs market-making empire from Bloomberg about Citadel Security CEO Peng Zhao. Second was Gary Gensler's ISDA AGM speech facial expressions, a video compilation made by John Lothian on Vimeo. That's me. Third was don't show off, don't lecture how to negotiate with someone more powerful from the Financial Times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, fake billionaire hedge fund manager ran Ponzi scheme, U.S. alleges. A former Chicago commodities trader was arrested and charged with fraud for lying to clients about everything from a non-existent collection of 122 luxury cars to phony returns that exceeded 200%. Philip Gallis, 57, was arrested Thursday and charged with a single count of wire fraud for allegedly stealing more than $2 million from victims since 2019, telling them he was investing their money in commodity futures, according to a statement from New Jersey U.S. Attorney Philip Selinger. And then here's another story, this one from the New York Times, the headline. The debt ceiling dispute raises the risk for, quote, risk-free, unquote, U.S. bonds. Short-term costs for insuring U.S. bonds are skyrocketing. The long-term effects of repeated flirtations with debt default are already a burden, our columnist says. It has come to this. Because of the debt ceiling crisis, a corner of the financial market sees the U.S. government as a riskier borrower over the next month or so than Bulgaria, Croatia, Greece, Mexico, the Philippines, and a host of other countries that may have never been remotely considered linchpins of the modern global financial system. And then here's another story from Bloomberg from Lionel Laurent. What banking crisis? Executives bet on Parisian renaissance, but it will take more than Macron to build a true continental alternative to the city. The skyline of Paris this week looked entirely different to March, when billows of smoke from pension reform protests filled the air and King Charles III was forced to cancel a planned trip. As the French capital played host to a J.P. Morgan Chase & Company event at the Pompidou Center on Wednesday, attendees could instead gaze upon cranes delivering new construction projects, the city preparing for next year's Olympics and new bank headquarters growing on the continent after Brexit, including one for J.P. Morgan itself. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian, the composer and singer of Dear Marjorie.